What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, aka Slaw. And as we said last time we did the show, two a weeks now, leading up to the NFL draft, less than a month away. And we are now in the era of prospect positional breakdown. So that's what we're doing today. We're kicking it off, running it back like we did last year with a good friend and returning guest to the show, Matt Laguza. So bringing Matt in now with us. Matt, less than a month away. How are we feeling going up to yet another draft season?
We're so close to the best day of the year. Thanks for having me on again. Always good to talk some prospects here. But draft time is always the best time. Love it, and looking forward to the next few weeks.
So, Matt, today we are discussing, as everyone can see on the thumbnail, the quarterbacks. Which is obviously the big one. I mean, last year we had a defensive end go first overall, defensive end go second overall. We had a corner go third overall. Pretty much not a corner, a quarterback until Kenny Pickett to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we had a big quarterback show. We talked Malik Willis, obviously Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder. We had a great show last time, but only one of those players actually landed in the first round. This year, however, potentially three in the top four. Quarterbacks, and still two other ones that are easily going to be in there, or one that will easily be in the first round, and then we'll talk about a fifth one who could potentially sneak in as a late first round as well. So we're gonna have five quarterbacks today, hopefully this year. A lot more intriguing of a conversation in terms of these first round guys at this position. So what do you think about this class compared to the last year's class, the classes before, and just overall how these classes shake out?
I mean, at the top part of this positional group, there's no question that teams are a lot higher on these prospects than they were last year's class. There's no question C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, those guys are the top three, and all the teams love them. So there's definitely a feeling that we could see four quarterbacks go in the top 10 this year. And then, obviously, as you mentioned, a fifth one could possibly sneak in to the later half of the first round. So I feel like teams are a little more confident. Could also be that they're a little more desperate for a quarterback as well at this point. Some of these teams at the top of the draft, Texans, Panthers, Colts, teams like that. So you never really know, but it definitely seems like quarterback is going to be a heavily wanted position this year.
And the big thing, it seems like the top two picks, like I said, are going to be quarterbacks. And the big one is the new number one overall selection, the new team on the clock, the Carolina Panthers. They're the team everyone has their eyes on right now in terms of this quarterback position, who's going to be their guy. There's three out there. A lot of people arguing one, the top two guys, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson. They had the posse go out there at his pro day this week as well, so they had some eyes on him as well. What do you think this move of the Panthers going up before we get into, more in depth of these quarterbacks, a new quarterback on the way in Carolina?
I mean, the Panthers, they have done so much to invest into their coaching staff and into their team. They are trying to build a winner in a weak division. Now, they haven't done much in roster development so far this year. This is going to be a project. They're going to want to build around this young quarterback. They've got the experience on the sidelines. They've got some solid pieces in there. It's just not a winning team yet. They need that quarterback, so they made the move. They knew if they wanted to be a winning team for a long time, they've got to be able to have their choice of quarterback, and that's what they did with this trade. I've got my number one guy. You've got your number one guy. Every team has their number one guy, but by the time if you get the first overall pick, you get your choice. You get to decide, and all the other teams have to follow suit after that. The Panthers took it into their own hands, made a deal, and they're going to get whoever they believe is the best quarterback in this class.
All right, let's go ahead and get into it then on these quarterbacks. So first up, we have C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State. Our first guy we're going to be discussing today, because in my eyes, he's the guy I think might potentially be the number one overall pick. I think this is the guy that Carolina Panthers had their eyes on moving up to that number one pick to potentially select. And this guy just great system he worked with in Ohio State, produced a lot of NFL caliber quarterbacks that have had their ups and downs in the league, but C.J. Stroud seems like he could be the one to come into a good situation with, like you said, a great coaching staff, a new surrounding cast built around him in Carolina. But C.J. Stroud as a prospect is one that I really liked getting into this year. Looking at these quarterbacks, I liked what I saw from him as in terms of his athleticism, his arm strength, but most importantly, I love the anticipatory throws, and his accuracy. What are your thoughts on C.J. Stroud before we saw, pull up some film on him?
I mean, I think C.J. Stroud is the most accurate quarterback in this class, and I completely agree with you. He's my number one quarterback as well. I think he really has everything that you can ask in a quarterback. He's accurate. He's got. He's very mature. He's got a very good sense of the game, high football IQ, and he's played in big games. And you mentioned the fact that Ohio State quarterbacks haven't really translated into the league very well. Obviously, Justin Fields is the latest. We haven't really seen what he can do yet. Obviously, he's shown over the past few weeks of the last season that he was able to do it with his legs, and he made some big-time throws. But we still don't know if he's going to be successful in the NFL yet. But C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields, the two best-looking Ohio State quarterbacks over the past few years coming out of the draft.
We're going to put up here some C.J. Stroud highlights. First up is a game against Michigan from this year. So, you know, a big Big Ten rivalry game that happened later in the season to see some of these plays in terms of what you're going to get out of C.J. Stroud. So first one, great throw right there. I think it was to Marvin Harrison Jr. Down the left sideline. Just, standing tall in the pocket, clean pocket, right over the head of another defender. Right on the sideline to him. I mean, this is what you get out of him. I like the anticipatory throws, the accuracy, short throw there. But we'll just let this play through and just talk about this guy and his fit in the league. I like him. It's, it seems like that he has the high caliber do-it-all mentality at the quarterback position. And there's even some plays in here as we watch through where right here, on the move, getting out of the pocket, making some plays. So, while Frank Wright in his system, he likes, tall quarterbacks, tall pocket passers, and, players that can work out of the pocket, which C.J. Stroud can do as well. But even when plays start to, maybe unravel, he has the ability to, use his legs, make some plays out of the pocket, and get on the move. This play right here, now we're over to the Chick-fil-A Bowl, I believe it was, semifinals in the college football playoffs against Georgia. But a lot of off the snap, rolling out, quick out to the right, and then load back up and throwing to across the body to the left. They use that a lot this year out of Ohio State compared to last year. But here he is. I think it was Jalen Carter on that play. Absolutely put him on skates in the pocket. Came right through the middle. Yeah. I believe it was Jalen Carter. Dodged him, put him on his back, and throws a nice easy first down completion. So this guy just has a lot of accuracy. I really like C.J. Stroud compared to Bryce Young, who we'll hit on next. But C.J. Stroud seems to me like the consensus first-round pick right now, but there's still – it's like a 65% chance I will have it. It's still super close in my eyes with Bryce Young, tailing in right behind him. But big-time throws. He had a lot of big-time games where he was, on a big national stage and still made some of these, same type of throws to the athletic and insane playmakers that they had at Ohio State, which certainly helps out a lot. But there he is again, using his legs out of the pocket, big first down run. But yeah, I mean, C.J. Stroud, a lot that I personally like about him in this one. What more do you have just to wrap him up?
I mean, I don't think there's a question. I personally have been a fan of C.J. Stroud for a long time now, and I think he is the number one quarterback in this class. No knocks on Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, any of those guys, because they are all – I truly believe that these top three in this class could be very special players in this league. But C.J. Stroud, I just see something different in him. And it'll be interesting to see how he adapts to the NFL after losing – I mean, he's – the past 2 years, not including this year, he had arguably the best three wide receivers in college football on the same team as him. So that's interesting to see him going to Carolina where, I mean, they literally just traded DJ Moore. If they were to go for this for C.J. Stroud, they just traded their best weapon to get him. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if he can develop and adapt to that. But, I mean, you mentioned it. We saw his pro day. We saw his combine. He is extremely accurate. He doesn't hesitate to throw and attack. So, I mean, really like him. I think he is going to be a hell of a player.
And, I mean, the other thing, I mean, again, you said no knock on Bryce Young as well, because I really like Bryce Young and, you know, what he's able to bring to a potential team and going in to, you know, his rookie season going into this draft. But it just seems like this fit. I mean, I've always had the fit with Bryce Young being the quarterback for the Houston Texans. And it just still seems like that is likely. I mean, Houston is hoping that C.J. Stroud is the guy that goes number one, because they really like Bryce Young and really want him to be, you know, their quarterback going forward with the number two overall pick. Yeah, a lot of scouts really liked Bryce Young coming into this one, a high IQ quarterback. You know, the knock on him really has been the size. You know, officially 5'10", just barely got over the 200-pound club at his combine, kept that up at the pro day, so it's good to keep, you know, that same size and prove that he can, you know, stay at that size. But I don't think, you know, we've had short quarterbacks come in the league before that have performed at a high level. Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. I don't think that's a really fair knock to have on the guy going into his rookie year. But, I mean, what he's able to do at the SEC level in big games at Alabama translates fully into the NFL and the defense he's going to be playing against. And he's straight balled out at that level. And I honestly think it can transfer, you know, extremely well going into it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, especially, you know, going into maybe not the best situation in Houston compared to other teams out there, but a rebuilding team where they're finally going to find their guy at quarterback is going to go a long way for them.
I think what separates Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud from the rest of the quarterbacks that we're going to talk about is I think these two guys have all the skill in the world, and they've got the mindset and the IQ to be able to adapt to this game very, very quickly. They can go into these systems and really play NFL-quality football right out the gate. I think they have that ability. With Bryce Young, it's just going to depend on if his body can hold up. We talked about the 5'10". We talked about just getting over 200. It's a very physical league. And obviously, you mentioned Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. They've been able to have success so far. That shouldn't be an issue for Bryce Young. And he also has the added bonus that he got to work with Bill O'Brien over at Alabama, former NFL offensive mind. So, you know, he has everything that it takes. It just, can he translate it with his size into a very underwhelming offensive system in Houston?
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely, you know, something that's going to happen and be the focal point in Houston, is working with that new team and working with what they're trying to showcase there. But I like Bryce Young. Personally, you know, like I said, it's the back and forth to me of who's the top guy in this year's class between the two. And a lot to like with both of them. So this is what we're seeing out of Bryce Young. We'll just go ahead and hit play and watch it as it goes through with it. But a guy who gets out of the pocket, does a lot more work with his legs, I think, than C.J. Stroud does, a lot more mobile. And the big thing, you know, even like, you know, with his height and his size and everything, a lot of people are worried about playing, you know, against the bigger NFL offensive linemen and the defensive linemen. Baker Mayfield has had some issues with batted balls in the past, but he's able to make it work with some big bodies at Alabama on the offensive line. And again, had, you know, a good arsenal of weapons to work with. But what I like especially about Bryce Young and what he does personally is the different arm angles, getting the ball out high, getting the ball out low on the run. And he's also not afraid to let it rip. I mean, there's some plays in here where he's got some deep balls in here, but he doesn't have the timing and, you know, the elite level accuracy that I would think comparatively C.J. Stroud does. But still a guy who very much so has the tools and the traits that translate to the next level. There's a deep ball there, ripping it down the field. But I mean, he does a great job. I mean, this guy is an elite caliber player at, you know, going through his progressions. And you talk about it's just like he has the it factor, I guess, at the quarterback position, where everything comes naturally to him, if that makes sense. Everything that, you know, you would want in a quarterback that you can't necessarily teach, he has that. And you can teach some of the accuracy things, And you know, you can put the weight on them. Anything that you can affect and change is pretty much the negatives about Bryce Young. All the unchangeables are all the positives. So that's, you know, what you would really like in a quarterback, especially one who is young coming into his rookie season, that you can work with talent-wise to build some of these things into your offense and work with him and get him up to that next level. So that's what Bryce Young brings in my eyes, and you know, something that I really like about him.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about the negatives, I mean, that's what everybody, you know, you've got to think about it. You look at these two guys, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. They, one of these guys is most likely going to go number one overall to the Carolina Panthers. And you have, right now, you know, both of them are top pick quality players. They are going to lead an NFL franchise next season. They are both most likely going to be starting quarterbacks week one for their respective franchises. Right now, you have to look at those negatives. And you have to look at them, look at them both, and say, which one can we deal with the most? Is it the 5'10 of Bryce Young? Is it whatever the negatives are that you're looking at CJ Stroud? You just have to look at them and say, can we deal with this or not? And if you can't, you got to go with the other guy. So people are going to have different opinions. Some people are going to think that 5'10 is too short, just over 200 pounds isn't heavy enough. And if that's not the case, you go with CJ Stroud. But if you can deal with that body type, Bryce Young might be your guy.
So that's the top two, the presumably top two picks in this year's class, and things start to get interesting at the number three spot in my eyes with the Arizona Cardinals, a potential trade back team. I talked about that on the mock draft last week. You can find back on the channel. So next up, outside of the top two guys, the ones that we're going to have coming into it are, again, a back and forth between these next two in terms of how they have themselves listed. But next up, in my eyes, the next one off the board, Matt, is going to be Anthony Richardson. And he is more of what we've seen the last couple of years, a project potential, you know, elite athlete that, you know, maybe not be, might, or maybe not be fully ready as a quarterback to start day one. But a guy, you know, Trey Lance comes to mind as a project elite caliber athlete. I think Anthony Richardson's even more so than what Trey Lance was. But still, a team like the Niners traded 3 first-round picks to move up and select a guy that they pretty much redshirted the entire first year. And he had to, you know, Trey Lance was supposed to take over as a starter this year, had a bad injury, missed, you know, pretty much entire season. But they invested a lot of, you know, capital into moving up and selecting a project-style quarterback. And now with Anthony Richardson, that's kind of what we see out of him. But this guy, you know, his RAS scores, we talked about it, his combine, his pro day, testing out of the charts, you know, rivaling Cam Newton, who went first overall, you know, back in his draft. Elite athlete, absolute insane athlete, and I'm excited to see which team lands him and how they use him going forward with their team.
Okay. Richardson.
There we go.
It's the most intriguing quarterback prospect, and I would even go to say probably the most intriguing prospect in general in this year's class. I mean, he has everything that you look for in a quarterback. He's got great size, great athleticism. Obviously, we saw some accuracy issues in college, but that's something you can fix. If he gets into the right system here and he goes to a team that can develop a quarterback very well, he could easily end up having the best career out of the five quarterbacks that we talk about today. I mean, he's got everything that you can ask for. We saw it at the combine. We've seen flashes of it while he was at Florida. I mean, he's the complete package, and if you can develop him well and put him into a good system, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing also as well, you know, coming from Florida, you know, a lot of jokes that I've seen have been that Florida didn't run necessarily the best style for him, and they ran a lot of, like, weird plays, especially, you know, at the SEC yep. level. But in terms of what he brings, you know, what he already has established for him as a passer, a lot of the tools are there. I mean, he's a bruising type of rusher, but doesn't rely on his legs, you know, as much as, you know, as you would see looking, but has a guy, you know, strong arm, drives the ball downfield effortlessly and has a lot of velocity. Quarterback we'll talk about later does that, I think, at a lot better of a level. But this guy, you know, he's still getting everything put together. I mean, you know, that was evident on the field this year at Florida and, you know, as a consistency level with him, you know, time in, time out, going in week after week. But, you know, a lot of the stuff, too, that he can be, become better at is, you know, pre, post-snap reading the defenses, you know, getting away from his first read, that type of thing can work on as well. But a lot of things, you're working on them. You know, that's what you're doing. And, you know, the big team right now that I had in my mock draft getting Anthony Richardson was the Colts. And, you know, the big question is wondering if the Colts will give him the time. I mean, you know, they brought in Gardner Minshew in free agency. I don't know if Gardner Minshew is going to be that day one starter when you bring in Anthony Richardson. You know, just wondering if you're going to be able to give him that time that a lot of teams try to shy away from in terms of, you know, getting a top quarterback in the draft, wanting to put him in right away. That type of thing is something you have to consider with Anthony Richardson as well.
I mean, you've seen that the Colts over the past few years, they have decided to go with veteran quarterbacks each year. We've seen Matt Ryan. We've seen Carson Wentz. We've seen Phillip Rivers. They are win now team. That's what they are. So now the question is that time frame for them to win now, is that over or not? Are they willing to give that up? And if they are willing to give that up and he gets in there and he can be a project quarterback, he can sit behind for a year and then come into the spotlight, it could be the perfect situation. But personally, I think the best situation for him would be if the Colts were to make a trade with the Ravens for Lamar Jackson, because I think Anthony Richardson in that Ravens system would be perfect.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, something I had also hinted about as well on One-on-One Sports is that potential, you know, trade to the Colts where that could happen. Well, now we'll get to some film here on old Anthony Richardson and see, you know, some of the plays that he was making at Florida this year. So first up, a game against Texas later this year, you know, mobility there, getting a throw out to the flats to a guy who, you know, makes a big play afterwards, you know, broken tackle, but just going through it. I mean, a lot of mobility stuff that Anthony Richardson did at Florida where, you know, I said that's not his first avenue, but a lot of out of the pocket stuff where he's maybe not in the move, but they did a lot of, you know, play actions, a lot of RPOs with him at Florida. And, you know, the play actions were a big thing in Florida, especially driving the ball downfield, you know, taking advantage of the big plays, which we see a lot here, some boots, getting him, you know, getting your athlete on the move out of the pocket, and making some plays is big as well. But there's still some big plays in here, you know, where he has some big throws that aren't pocket mobility-esque. I mean, they're, you know, good accuracy on that one there, and a great throw that turns into a touchdown. Again, Florida got knocked on for not having the best playmakers, but some of these guys still, you know, made some plays after the catch. And here it is, some deep throws down the sideline, big play. And that's just, you know, what you're getting out of Anthony Richardson. I really want to see a team unlock him, fully unlock him with his potential that he has, because if they do, he could be one of the best quarterbacks in this year's class and could be that number one guy to come out of it with all the traits he has athletically, where, you know, maybe he can turn into a Cam Newton-like quarterback, and that's, you know, hopefully what you're expecting to see out of him.
I was going to say, I mean, the comparison that's been going around is Cam Newton, and there's no question that, I mean, he is almost an exact copy of him when he was in college. I mean, he's a huge body. He's a good runner. He's got a stronger, arguably a better arm than Cam Newton. I mean, if you can unlock this player, he can be a game changer for your team. So you just need to be in the right system with the right development team. And if you can unlock his potential, I mean, I see no reason why he couldn't even be not just the best quarterback prospect from this draft, but the best player out of this draft.
I mean, he really, like, really could. And it's not, you know, it's not like it's going to be a hard task. You know, we're talking about unlocking his potential, and, you know, if a team can do it. Yep. I mean, even if a team throws him in at the start, right out of the gate, I think he's still, you know, is smart enough to where he can figure it out on the fly if he's asked to in that type of situation. Just the tools I love to see here from Richardson, and, you know, seeing what can translate, what can't, what he needs to work on. But, you know, the fit will be a big thing. I mean, you talked about it. Does he go to the Baltimore Ravens at four? You know, does someone jump up out of nowhere and really fall in love with him and move up to three and take him above the Indianapolis Colts? Or, you know, does he fall to the Colts with Steichen and that new offense and that new regime going into it? And, you know, he could fit really well into that system that Philadelphia just ran, that they brought to the Super Bowl, and maybe can run that system a lot even better than Jalen Hurts did in Philadelphia, you know, bringing that system into Indianapolis now. So a lot to like out of Anthony Richardson as, you know, the third quarterback in my eyes, and in, it sounds like in your eyes, in this year's draft. But next up, the Kentucky man, This one has people perplexed all over the scouting world, the Twitter world, the public. The perception on Will Levis is really split right now, and a lot of people are projecting the mock drafts coming right now a slide. You know, I had him going at 11 to the Tennessee Titans, so chance he could maybe fall lower than that. But it seems like out of all the players and all the prospects that were once top 10 picks, top 5 picks, Levis is the one now sliding. And why is that, Matt?
I mean, I don't really know. I've never been too high on Levis. I think he's had some turnover issues. I just don't see what some of these other scouts see of him being. I mean, we were talking about earlier how he could go top 3 in the NFL draft this year just a few weeks ago. We were saying that he could go to the Colts, and he could be available for the Colts at 4. I mean, I don't know. I just don't see what everybody else sees. I don't think he has that, like, it factor that some of these other quarterbacks in this class have. He doesn't have the outstanding accuracy. He doesn't have the outstanding athletic ability. He doesn't have the crazy arm strength. He's a good quarterback, and I think he can be a solid NFL starter. Don't get me wrong. It's just I don't see him as that superstar that some people were pointing him out to be. I mean, I think he's definitely going to be a person that comes out and sits on the bench to start his NFL career. Mm. I could see him going to a place like the Raiders if they don't like someone at 7. Have him sit behind Jimmy G for a year or two. You mentioned the Titans. He could go there and sit behind someone. The Buccaneers, he could be, I mean, people could say it's a QB competition. I mean, I don't think it would be.
Yeah, make it a 3-man race in Tampa Bay. Why not? Let Baker, Trask more competition.
Baker, Trask, and Levis. I mean, I don't know. I don't see what everybody else sees.
You never know. I definitely agree. I mean, the big knock that I see on him, I think he's a one-read quarterback. I think he's a see-it, throw-it quarterback, which obviously are two huge negatives to have from a guy at this level, especially when you want to be a potential franchise quarterback coming into it this year as a rookie. And for me, the big thing that has caught my eye with Will Levis, and I really heavily at the beginning of the year and the beginning of this process was mocking him to the Indianapolis Colts. I thought I hate saying fit an NFL mold, but a big, strong frame and a huge arm talent is what captivates people. It's what captivates the older owners of the league, because that's what the NFL for the old owners is. You know, a guy like Josh Allen, who really came on as a prospect because he was big, he was strong, a huge cannon of an arm. And Levis has that. You can zip throws anywhere on the field. And the other thing that a lot of teams like, the old heads in the league, is the pro-style offense in college in terms of a more college offense. Will Levis in Kentucky ran a pro-style offense, a system that was based on timing, based on the rhythm, a lot of what you see out of, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, those types of offenses where you have a pocket passer who does his job, does it well, and he's not flashy, not splashy. And the NFL's moving away from that. Whether some of these old owners like it or not. I thought Jim Irsay was one of those old owners who was going to try to stick to that and, come away with the Will Levis in this year's draft. And you mentioned the Las Vegas Raiders. I think, that Josh McDaniels offense, that works well for a quarterback like Will Levis. And, I could still see, like you said, even though the Jimmy Garoppolo acquisition in the offseason, Will Levis still potentially could come in and be there at the number 7 overall pick, fall down to the Raiders, and they could still, take the gun on it. And McDaniel's throwing some tea leaves out there that, even after Garoppolo, maybe still not out of the quarterback race, which adds that into it as well if he can fall down. But, I mean, I can definitely see why there's, a split and disconnect in Will Levis's game that's really, captivating scouts and analysts out there in terms of evaluating this guy. I mean, we talked about it. This guy could be the top quarterback in this year's draft, and he could go one, back, a couple weeks ago. And it's so interesting to see during, the draft process year in and year out, how all of a sudden a vendetta starts building against a certain player where everyone starts leaning on the same thing as you get closer and closer. And it seems like Will Levis is that guy in this year's class.
And I don't think there's any way that Will Levis should be drafted above any of the other three guys that we've talked about so far. You know, you know over the past 3-4 years, there's always one quarterback that I think is going to that gets drafted in like fifth round or later that I think is going to be better than the top five, and there's always one guy in the top five that I think is going to be worse than everybody. Last year it was Brock Purdy and Malik Willis is the two guys. This year Will Levis is the guy that I just don't like. I just don't think he has that it factor that you need to be an NFL starting quarterback and a franchise player. So we'll see what happens, but I think he still will be selected in the top probably 15 of this year's draft.
So now let's get to some tape before we wrap up on Will Levis. So we're getting it situated, bring it in now here on Will Levis. Let's just see, you know, on the field, some of these things that we were talking about with this pro-style offense. Still, you know, here right at the bat, a lot of the boots we just saw from, you know, the Anthony Richardson tape in Florida. Big plays there after the catch from Kentucky. But, you know, a lot of standing in the pocket, strong, you know, laser arm, getting, you know, ripping the ball out, hitting his playmakers in some big situations, and not doing a lot outside of the pocket from Will Levis. He's definitely your traditional pocket passer in this year's class that, you know, there's teams out there that like that. There's teams out there that want more than that. So it's going to be interesting to see who really captivates with this guy, who, you know, levitates more toward him and gravitates more towards him. And they, you know, there's a big player there, you know, going Superman mode from the 8-yard line, trying to make it into the end zone. Interesting call by him. But we had to put that one in there. I love that play by him. I mean, no reason to be making that kind of move. But now we see some, you know, some rips over the middle of the field. Hopefully get to some of these deep balls as well. There we go. Sliding around the pocket, lasered one deep onto the side, you know, left sideline. But yeah, a lot of red zone work as well, which are a lot of, you know, the short yardage touchdowns we see in some of these big games that he was able to have. Now he has some tape from the Georgia defense, you know, one of the top defenses in football, you know, consistently drafts, you know, they're still going to have, you know, three first round picks again, potentially this year off that defense. They're just absolute maulers over there in Georgia, which is a good, you know, indicator of, you know, seeing him make big plays against a big defense is good transitions of terms of what, you know, we're going to see at the professional level against some top caliber defenses from Will Levis. But that wraps up what we saw from him. So we'll pull it back over now. We got one more quarterback to discuss, Matt. I know a lot of people are big on the top four who we just discussed, but we're going to throw in a fifth today who I think could be a sleeper to come into it as a potential first round pick. And it's going to be Hendon Hooker out of Tennessee, the Tennessee quarterback. Going into it with some age concerns, potentially, that some teams are monitoring, going into it as well, with, some, other issues with, you know, torn ACL later in the season. He's going to be rehabbing from, is he going to be available, once we get closer to the start of the season and into OTAs. But Hendon Hooker, I didn't like what I saw about him. Watching his tape and, you know, doing the deep dive on him, and I'm leaning more towards the idea, you know, Daniel Jeremiah had him mocked into the first round in his last mock draft. I think a team could sneak in here and maybe, you know, take a swing at Hendon Hooker despite those two big concerns in the back end of the first round.
I mean, I see no reason why he wouldn't be able to. I mean, after Hendon Hooker, I think there is a big drop-off in quarterbacks. We know that there's a big drop-off between the top two to the third, and then third to fourth, and then a big drop from fourth to now Hendon Hooker. But once you get past those top four, any team that wants a QB in this draft, they're going to want Hendon Hooker. There is no reason why he can't go into the first round, because teams are going to have to get him early. They're going to have to reach on him if they want that guy. And I mean, he's thrown 5 interceptions over the past 2 seasons and almost 60 touchdowns. He is able to keep the ball with his team. He doesn't struggle with turnovers. He's a great pocket passer. He's got good athleticism. I mean, he's got everything that you want in an NFL quarterback. I mean, obviously the age is something that people talk about. The NFL team owners, they drafted Brandon Weeden at 28 years old. So it doesn't really matter at this point. He's 25. I think he, obviously we had the injury, but people have come off from that before. He'll be fine. I mean, I don't think there's any reason why he can't slip into the late part of the first round.
And I mean, personally to me, I'd like him better than Will Levis. And I think he offers a lot of the same things that Will Levis offers, and maybe even more. He has the same, you know, big frame, same big arm, and in my opinion, he has the best velocity in this year's draft. I mean, the guy absolutely rips passes. They are absolute rockets coming out of his hands, and we're gonna see. I mean, there are times the people in, you know, the elite. You know, we have, you know, Cedric Tillman. You have Jalin Hyatt, who are going to get drafted pretty high in this year's draft that we'll, you know, hit on later when we do our wide receivers. There's passes Hendon Hooker threw that even those two guys couldn't hold on to this year. Yep. And Tennessee, I mean, absolute rips balls at people. And I like, you know, the big, you know, again, you talked about it, the dual threat ability that even he has, that I think he has at a more, you know, stronger level than Will Levis does. And we're going to see how that holds up now post ACL with him, you know, coming back from that injury. Been, you know, good mobility before his injury, good anticipatory throws like CJ Stroud had. Just has two big concerns holding him up. But I think a team who, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, he had the Minnesota Vikings. I think the LA Rams, you know, in the second round potentially can go after him. A lot of teams, I think, could really like what Hendon Hooker could potentially bring to their team.
I mean, there's no question. You're looking at there's no question. I think he's going early second round. I think teams are going to snag him if he ends up slipping into there. But I mean, talking about first round, if those top four guys go in the top 10, you're looking at the Buccaneers, you're looking at the Colts or Ravens or, you know, whoever is in that spot there. You're looking at the Tennessee Titans. You're looking at someone that could possibly trade up into the first round, someone that trades down from where they are currently. I mean, there are a lot of QB needy teams, and some people think the 25-year-old could be a positive. I mean, he's more mature than a lot of the other quarterbacks that are in this class. He's going to have a lot more experience. He plays very quality defenses in Alabama and Georgia. I mean, there is no reason why people should be overlooking him, and I think he's going to be gone by pick probably 40.
Yeah, I mean, he played in a tough, SEC conference as well, and had this team, and had, you know, his offense in Tennessee up to the top level in college football. You know, being the number one team in college football this year, and you know, bringing it back in, with the age, thing that you talked about, being more experienced, and you talked about, you know, the two good defenses as well, that you faced against in Alabama and Georgia, and that's actually, a good segue of what we're going to try to bring up here now from what we saw during his time as well. So we'll see how quick we can bring this one up and just get some stats and perspective on Hendon Hooker as well. So again, two good defenses again that we were able to pull up from Hendon Hooker stats. Georgia first and then Alabama as well this season. And two really good masterminds on that defense. So more, again, transition levels of these style of plays that he was able to make before he went down this season against some top two defenses in college football. So here we go, switch it over, and let's check out some of these plays from Hendon Hooker as well. And again, these two receivers are great. I mean, Hyatt, Cedric Tillman,
oh, yeah.
I'm really happy about these two guys. I mean, Hyatt's a guy I hope, my Packers target. I think Tillman is a better receiver than a lot of people are giving him credit for, and could really turn into something once the team signs him on. But the mobility here from Hendon Hooker, some good anticipation. I mean, just these plays that are, being shown right now, watch the ball just rocket out of this dude's hands and then immediately out, on the receiver. And, I kind of wish I put some of the incomplete passes on there where it just smacked right off a wide receiver's, hands, went right through the hands, smacked him in the face mask because of how fast these balls were coming out of his hands. But Hendon Hooker is just another one where a lot of people are potentially sleeping on the impact that he could bring to an NFL offense, as a rookie, even if he can get back in time. I mean, this one was just one of the plays of the year, a deep ball that absolutely stunned Alabama. In Rocky Top as well was just an insane game. One of my favorite ones of the season, Tennessee knocking down Bama. I believe the same game they broke down the goalpost, wasn't it, Matt? Brought the goalpost down into the river. Was an insane game where Hooker really put his talent on display. You know, they're dodging a defender over his head on the right sideline, right to his receiver. Just some of these rocket passes out of his hand. That one was in another insane ball that stunned Alabama. Another deep play touchdown as well. And there's still some guys. I mean, Darnell Wright on that offensive line also held up really good, and the teams were really liking as another first rounder. So this offense did a really good job producing some elite NFL talent this year. And I think Hooker's one that people need to start keeping their eyes on as we approach the start or get closer to the start of the NFL draft, being a late day one, early day two guy.
No question about it. Hendon Hooker is my QB4 in this class, so there's no question about it. And I think teams definitely have to take a closer look at him as a potential day one pick.
And you said that, you know, steep drop off after Hendon Hooker. But
it really is.
Still some guys out there. I mean, which one? I mean, three that I have on my list that I've looked at, Aiden O'Connell out of Purdue. Meeting, I believe it was, or individual pro day maybe with the Dallas Cowboys. Max Duggan from TCU had a big playoff run. Tanner McKee out of Stanford. Are there any other guys that you like as later rounds? Because if you like these later round quarterbacks that, you know, people think are backups, but Brock Purdy this year, there's Brock still Purdy, some talent man out there that people are sleeping on. What other, you know, are you talking about 30-year-old Stetson Bennett, 2-time national championship winner? Who are some other guys you like out here on this list at this position this year?
I mean, there's a ton of quality at the quarterback position this year. And, you know, there are going to be guys that are going to be in the league for a long time, whether it's on the field or on the sideline, whatever it is. There is quality players here. I mean, you know, I've talked about it a lot. I like Jake Haener a lot, and I think he can be an elite quarterback at this level. And he's going to be a guy that you're going to pick in the 5th, 6th, 7th round, something like that. So he's someone that you can kind of take a reach on, see if he develops into a good quarterback. But if you get him into a good system with a quality quarterback development coach and some good weapons, I think he could be someone that really stuns people. And, I mean, just going to take after his former starting quarterback at Fresno State, Derek Carr. So we've seen some success there, and I think Jake Haener could replicate that.
Well, we'll see if some of these other guys can bite some people's scouting reports and completely counteract what many people thought about them, and be some later round guys that can sneak in and make an NFL career a little something out of nothing from this class. But Matt, thanks for joining. That wraps up our quarterback class. We're going to be back with you on Monday on WSOE. Matt joining us live in studio, so a little better connection in studio with us. But we're going to do wide receivers next up. Guza, great wide receiver class again. I mean, these wide receiver classes keep coming at us year after year. This one, recency bias. I think a lot of these players are better than people are getting credit for. It's, looking back at the last couple of years and, the NFL draft classes that have come out at this wide receiver position, but there's still some quality playmakers in here. We're going to get into this first round and, be some top guys on some NFL offenses. But Matt, can't wait to see you in studio on Monday and keep going with these prospect breakdowns. Thanks for breaking down these quarterbacks with us. And we'll see if there's some sneaky ones in here.
Hey, you never know.
And also the number one pick. I mean, that's what happens there with the Carolina Panthers. CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, they go bold. They go bold on Anthony Richardson. That can happen as well. But Matt, thanks for joining. We'll see you on Monday.
See you Monday.
All right, that wraps up our quarterback prospect breakdown for the 2023 NFL draft class. Thank you all for joining. Thank you all for stopping by. If you missed any part of today's episode, you can find it on the podcast, at The Sol Sports Show, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm, Spotify, anywhere you get a podcast, Overcast as well. You'll find us at The Sol Sports Show. Like I said, we'll be back on Monday, live and in studio, moving things along here, getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. Thank you all for stopping by, and until next time, peace.